You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, I pray at this time that the word that would go forth, the word that would remain, the word that would abide, would be the living word, Jesus, our health and our salvation, in whose name I pray. Amen. As we're gathered this morning for this wonderful service of lessons and carols, as it states at the outset, as we reflect together the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience to this day. And in the context of the human condition, we're invited to see this sweep of the scriptures, which speaks to the loving purposes of God. And as we reflect on that this morning, if you wish, I'll primarily be focusing on page 9 on that portion of Isaiah 40, that rich and high watermark in the scriptures. In many ways, I feel like Isaiah 40 is Romans 8 in the Old Testament. It's this magnificent peak of truth and perspective to you and to me, and not just perspective, but a gracious word, a gospel word, and quite frankly, a necessarily hopeful word for the people of Isaiah's day and for you and for me as well. That word of strength, that word of truth, that word of comfort and hope that the human condition so deeply and desperately longs for. And I'll say just a few words, because I know you're pretty excited to hear about 700s BC political intrigue and history. And so I thought I would start with something engaging to sort of really get you. I'm bombing. I mean, that's just painful. It wasn't that funny. But let me just say a word about what was going on in Isaiah's day, because it is pertinent to you and to me, the human condition being the human condition. And you remember at the beginning of the prophet Isaiah, we hear that in the year that King Uzziah died is when Isaiah began his prophecy. And what was going on for the people of Israel and Judah is in many ways what's going on today. They were in the midst of Israel and Palestine now, and the world powers which surrounded them, and dangers from the south, and dangers from the north, and dangers from the west. And with that pressure which surrounded them, as is so often true of the human condition, when the pressure is going on around us, we can often also begin to turn upon and disagree with one another. So they experience not only threat from the outside, but disagreement about how to proceed on the inside. And in this moment, I'll just share a brief word from Barry Webb and his commentary on Isaiah. He said, in the year Uzziah died, the international scene was full of threat. At home, too, things were far from well. The newfound wealth was not evenly distributed. It was concentrated in the hands of an economic elite who cared little for the have-nots beneath them. Deep fissures were opening up in Judean society as justice was bought and sold, or simply disregarded and replaced by violent exploitation and repression. Religious observance continued, but could no longer conceal the rot that had set in underneath. The creed that the Lord was king had become hollow. Its ethical implications were disregarded at home, and it no longer inspired much confidence when one looked out on the changing world beyond Judah's fragile borders. It was going to be a hard creed to live by in the turbulent years that lay ahead. So it was a time of trial. It was a time of difficulty. And Isaiah, the prophet, encouraged the king to stand firm and to trust in the Lord. But Ahaz found himself unequal to the test, and he appealed to Tiglath-Pileser, who was the leader of the Assyrians at that particular time, and thus everything began to unravel. Why do I tell that to you this morning? Because it's within the human condition to look for saviors. There is a fundamental someone show us the way. Someone show us the truth. Someone show us the way. Someone speak to the deep longing that exists in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. Someone speak a word, a grounding word, a gracious word, a word of perspective, and the people are like you and me. They look to all sorts of different people to provide that word for them, again and again, they found themselves undermined. Again and again, they found themselves lost. And Isaiah was seeking to speak to them a true word which transcended their moment. And after 39 chapters of prophecy and of the people's lack of listening, this good and gracious word comes to them. And I'll ask you a question. When people speak truthfully to you, people in your life, perhaps a friend or a family member or a spouse, speak truthfully to you, how well do you receive that truth? And fortunately, this is a rhetorical question, because I'm married, and you know, for whatever reason, Paula shares truths with me like, don't be so sensitive. And for whatever reason, I find that upsetting and doesn't necessarily draw us closer together. And, you know, when I encourage her to just to relax, for some reason, that's counterproductive. And so these things, we have this hesitation to listen and to hear and to respond to the word, which is true, and this is what's happened for the people of Israel again and again and again and again, and Isaiah prophesies to them out of love and out of concern. He calls to them. It's not that he's grumpy. It's not that he's uptight. We've entered into grandparent mode now for the first time, and it's absolutely amazing, and we're loving it. And our grandson Max is 10 months old now, and you know, we're trying to sort of, of course, he's at that age where he's just so inquisitive and wants to be into everything. And so he wants to touch everything hot or grab everything dangerous. And he's, you know, at a point where if he steps off high places, he's certain he can fly and he won't plummet to the ground. And so there's this sort of opportunity. And the question between Paul and, of course, is how much is, you know, what's too risky and what's going too far and what's not risky. And of course, we agree when we're in the same room, but as soon as she leaves, we push the envelope a little bit. But it's this, all this has come to the people of Israel and they don't listen. And what is the word of prophecy which is given to Isaiah? It's a word that goes forth to a people who will find themselves in exile with the Babylonians. And rather than a word of, I told you so, rather than a word of, you know what, you deserve this, you got yourself into this, what is the word that comes to them? And it's a word which ties in to that opening acclamation, the loving purposes of God from the first days until now. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received for the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Rather than the word of rebuke, the people receive a word of comfort. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And do you notice what is said? Not just that word of comfort, not just that word of tenderness, not just that word of pardon, that all of her sins have been paid for, not by themselves, but by God, that her warfare is ended, but God calls them my people. We're called by God my people, not because of our performance, but because of who God is, because the nature and the character of God. He speaks a word to us, calling us his people. And the voice is given to prepare the way for the Lord, to make a way, to make a highway for God to come. And the people of Isaiah's day, just like the people of our day, the ones who would come, the conquerors, what they would do in those parades would be just to show their might and to subjugate the people even further, to rub their nose in it, to make sure they knew who was in charge and it wasn't them. And what is the highway prepared for God? What does God's parade look like? It's not one to rub the people's nose in it. It's one of mercy. It's a parade of mercy, and it's a parade of restoration. The parade, of course, of God, the highway which God will travel is a highway to the cross, and through the cross, and to the resurrection. This word of mercy, this word of restoration, which goes forth to God's people. And Isaiah feels a word of anxiety. What am I going to say? He said, but God, I hear you, but we're grass. We wither. We fall short. We don't rise to the occasion. We fail the test. We wither and we fade. What shall I say? And of course, that good and gracious word, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. And the word which stands forever is a living word. The word which stands forever is the word Jesus, which will be torn down by his self-offering and love and sacrifice and atonement and restoration and raised up again, that he might last forever. And that's why Isaiah is invited up to go up to that high place and proclaim it. Who is God? What is God? Who is God in relationship with us? He's a shepherd. He is a shepherd who comes to gather us, the lambs in his arms. He will carry us in his bosom. He will gently lead those that are with young. It is a word of mercy. It is a word of restoration. It is a word in contrast to give perspective to you and to me in our lives. A final word, that word for comfort, translated comfort, the Hebrew word is nachamu, and it has, of course, very much, comfort is one of the very accurate and true and right translations. It's also rightly translated consolation, but there's yet another way which it can be translated, which is often translated, and it has a deep meaning for you and for me. And that word comfort means to cause to breathe again. To cause to breathe again. It's a word of resuscitation, of bringing back life. The people of Israel, like you and me, are so often holding their breaths and holding life and trying to hold together what can't be held together and to find security and to find comfort and to find meaning in the things that we can clutch or grasp. But the word of God comes to us that says you can exhale. That says you can breathe again, because God comes to speak a tender word, a gathering word to people who, like you and me, readily find ourselves uncertain and unsure and in difficult places that are too much for you or for me, or over extended or fragmented in myriad ways. And the word comes to say, you can breathe again. You can breathe again. Because our God is a shepherd. Heavenly Father, enable us to breathe again, to hear the comfort which is in you. And I pray this in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.